Thank you for listening to the media ministry of the Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church in San Diego, California. If you are blessed by what you hear and would like to help keep our little church going as a ministry partner with your cheerful gifts, please listen for instructions at the end of this message. Beloved, we return to 2 Timothy this evening, and this evening we go to chapter 2, verse 22. Look with me now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Hear now the word of the Lord. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I'm going to read that again. We're going to focus on the phrase follow righteousness, but after working more on this, I think we may have a little bit of a series through this verse and the other things we're called upon to follow related to the opening and closing of the verse that I will explain tonight and we'll revisit. But in particular, we're going to focus on follow righteousness tonight. Let me read this one more time. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And in particular tonight, and the message for you tonight, straight from that part of the verse, follow righteousness. That's the message. Follow righteousness. So today, beloved, particularly, you can try to memorize these two sermon points and make good use of them this morning. The promise of God is life in Jesus Christ. This evening, follow righteousness. When you want to understand something, sometimes a good teaching tool, good device of helping to really understand something is to look at its opposite, to study and understand its opposite, to better understand what it is. To know what something is, it can be helpful to know what it is not. And so therefore, the Psalms and the Proverbs very often have what is called antithetical parallelism. Now, we've often looked at that. There are three kinds of parallelisms generally in the Psalms, and especially the Proverbs. One is synthetic parallelism, where it says something and then basically says the same thing but kind of builds on it. The other is synonymous parallelism, where it is saying the same thing in two different ways, not as much of an ascending of an idea, but just saying it in two different ways to make the point by repetition. But then often what you'll also see is antithetical parallelism. Two things that are antitheses to each other, two things that are opposites, particularly related to good and bad. Good and bad people and good and bad lives. Such as Psalm 37, verse 2. And of course, remember, Psalm 37 talks all about don't fret about the wicked, instead do good. Psalm 37, verse 2, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. So you see that contrast of opposites to make a point. And the real point is, I think especially why it follows in the second part of the verse, you want to be righteous. The bad thing is somebody that borrows money and doesn't pay it ever back. I think we would all agree, we don't like that. We don't want to be that. We certainly don't like that if somebody would do that to us. I'm not sure we would say, well, that's wicked, but the Bible does. In contrast, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. Not only are they not paying people back, they're actually giving to others in need, showing mercy. So you see the contrast there, how we can understand. What is it to be righteous? Well, it's definitely not taking from somebody, not paying back. Instead, the opposite, it's even giving, being merciful and giving to people who couldn't pay you back. So Paul contrasts opposites here in our text. There's one main bad thing to run from. That's the beginning of the verse here. Flee youthful lusts. We'll unpack that a little bit more. But that's the bad thing. And then everything else is pretty much the opposites. And there's a lot of opposites. We're going to look at the closing, which is the main opposite. And then the middle, particularly follow righteousness. So what does it mean to flee youthful lusts? It's to do this instead. You see, the opposite. One main bad thing to run from, we look at tonight, is this fleeing from youthful lust. Flee. Look at that idea of word flee. You can think about Joseph when Potiphar's wife went after him to try to get him to be sinful against his boss and her husband. And what does he do? He flees and he lets stuff drop that needs to be dropped for not risking getting caught in it. He runs. He flees. And that's the idea. Flee. Run away from youthful lusts. So we know Psalm 119 speaks about how can a young man purify himself? It's the word of the Lord. This idea of purifying yourself, that's the end of our verse tonight. We want to have a pure heart instead of a lustful heart. And that's the opposite, but then he kind of describes the way that would look. It wouldn't be the youthful lusts. Well, let's think about that a little more to know the opposite so that we understand following righteousness. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So Peter says in 2 Peter 1 verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust is that idea of inappropriate desire. It's related to the 10th commandment, coveting what is not yours, coveting what you shouldn't have, even if it could be, because it's the devil's. You've been delivered from that, the things of the world. So John says in 1 John 3, verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So Paul says again, flee youthful lusts. Instead, call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Those are the opposites to keep in view. Again, in contrast to fleeing lust, running away from them, you are to follow something else instead. Four opposite things. And I give them to you in reverse order into what we're going to focus on tonight. Instead of running after lust, run from them. Run from those lusts and instead follow after peace. Follow after love. Follow after faith. And our focus tonight, follow righteousness. Again, that's the message. That's what we're going to look at in particular tonight. Follow righteousness. That's what to keep in your heart tonight. Follow righteousness. As you go out this week to walk forward, follow righteousness in your walk. Now look at chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's one of the verses we looked at in the message yesterday. But the main idea here is Paul's calling upon us to be godly. To live godly. And that's the idea of following righteousness. Live godly. Pursue godliness. That is, live like God. Live like the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Not that you're going to live in some way that earns to be with God, but as God has given you life in Jesus Christ by the way he lived perfectly for you, seek to live like him, follow after him, live the way that would be appropriate to be walking with him, because he is. So, 1 Timothy 1:5, if you'd like to look with me, it's very short so you can flip easily. 1 Timothy 1 verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. The whole point of it is charity but out of a good conscience, a pure heart, faith unfeigned, pursue those things. Too often, there's an ebb and flow in the church. It needs to be balanced. We need Christ to be our righteousness, and Christ calls on us to pursue a righteous life. They're both true. Now, he makes us righteous that we may. He makes us holy that he would call on us to be holy. But they're both true. Now, when we come back to our verse, 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness. That Greek word, as I mentioned earlier, for follow actually could be translated pursue. It's a different Greek word than when Jesus says, follow me in Matthew to his apostles. It's the same idea, follow me, but it's more than just a sense of following after. At least I think sometimes, maybe it's because I'm getting older, maybe it's because I still have a lot of young children, but following can look a little bit lackadaisical, a little bit unorganized, a little bit lack of deliberate, with an intent to get somewhere in a certain way. So we're told to pursue Christ. Pursue righteousness. Jesus again says, follow me. And I think it's good to have that idea too, because we don't want to have the scent of being a sprinter. They don't last. Flashes in the pans. We've seen a lot of that. We're supposed to be, God help us to be that burning coal that doesn't blow out. So I think it's helpful to think of that idea of pursuing more like a marathon. Are we not called so often by the Lord to endure? But there's a striving involved in that, with deliberate exertion of energy, and important to consider, we're running together. You might think of a marathon race or maybe a baton race, passing it on. There's that aspect, remember, in Timothy here, 2 Timothy, Paul passing it on as he's getting ready to go to heaven. But this idea of pursuing righteousness, it has to be a deliberate desire. Certainly we need the Lord to enlarge our heart that we would pursue his precepts, according to what we just sang earlier in Psalm 119. But that's what we should be looking for. And that idea is there as well at the beginning. Notice, you're not doing this alone. And by the way, that's really important. And one of the articles we will look at soon, in Waiting on the Lord, there's a whole article emphasizing you don't wait alone. You wait with God's people. And it goes a lot better for you. And notice here in verse 22, flee lust, run away from them. But of course, that involves running away from the kind of people who want you to go down that road with them. The broad way that leads to destruction. Instead, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You need to be looking. Just like we have been looking in other places, you need to be looking to be walking with the wise, walking in the light, those who are in the light with the Lord. That's what it looks like. Flee youthful lust. Run away from those who would have you involved in just sinful immaturity. And instead, pursue after righteousness with those who are on that path as well, striving after it, know how to run the race. Again, the language Paul uses with Timothy elsewhere. That is, you're going to be different disciples, with different disciples, with different directions than those going the other way, with different destinations entirely. And so Psalm 1 that you sang together with me just now, I'd like to read for you again. I'm going to read the whole psalm. If you want to follow along, don't feel obliged, but I know some of you might prefer. Psalm 1, notice the contrast of who you're walking with, who you're pursuing life with. And again, this is really a sign of whether you have the life of Christ in you or not. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whosoever he, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Don't forget the warning in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. I always think it's interesting that Paul starts with, don't be deceived. Sometimes we may say, don't kid yourself. Sometimes we really need to say, would you stop lying to yourself? Often the way people are when they want to justify being in and with certain things and certain people, they ought not to, because it's contradictory to God's word and ways. Be not deceived, Paul says. Evil communications. That means the kind of people you're being with. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Flee youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteousness with those who call upon the Lord with a pure heart. Be like the apostles when Jesus says, follow me. They drop everything. And they do. Get off the way of the world. Go his direction. The narrow way that leads to life. Few find it. Heed this warning. As much as we want to understand the idea of pursuing godliness, looking to grow in holiness, as it is said here, follow righteousness. We need to make sure we give this disclaimer, rather, but it should be a warning as well. It's not that you are working out righteousness, that you work righteousness and merit before God. That is not what's being said. The whole context would make that obvious, and we know that's obvious with Paul from the immediate context and all of his writings and all of Scripture. It's not that you're working righteous works to be considered righteous before God in your own right. If that's the way you would see this, you will die in hell. And you are not pursuing righteousness, actually. It's a sign. The idea of following righteousness will be a sign that shows it's a lifestyle according to whether you've chosen life or death, Jesus or the devil. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Isaiah 64, verse 6. If you brag about your works before God, Jesus says you go away unjustified in your unrighteousness like the Pharisee. Only Christ's perfect work makes you justified, makes you positionally righteous. But you're called on to grow in practicing that righteousness as a way of life for being made righteous with his life. To pursue righteousness first is to pursue Jesus, who is the Lord our righteousness. One of the names of God we've had some sermons on in that series. The Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah 23:6, said again in Jeremiah 33:16. Jesus is our righteousness. First, you're pursuing Jesus, that he would make you righteous. You're not justifying yourself before God, but vindicating yourselves before the world, living a righteous life to give glory to God. Matthew 5:13-16, Jesus says, be the salt to the earth, be the light of the world. But that's because you have him, the light of the world, in you. That you would draw people to God by your good works that show his good work in you. Don't miss that disclaimer. Otherwise, you'll be sent to hell. But if you have Christ in heaven, then you are to live like that as citizens of the kingdom of heaven on this earth. Paul gives the proper understanding. Not personal righteousness, only Christ's righteousness credited to you. He gives another idea of this powerful one we saw a year or so ago when we were in Philippians. Let me give you a highlight of it. Philippians 3, verses 2 to 3 and verse 9 to begin with. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So Paul says in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because in it the righteousness of God is revealed through Christ to be given to us. We need it. Yet, he goes on to say in Philippians 3, 10 to 14, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I might apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And by the way, if you'll recall, he's not so much saying we forget our sins behind us, we forget whatever we try to say about ourselves, and we just pursue Christ, our righteousness. And that involves looking to follow the way he would have us follow. Now, those that would mock you for seeking to be holy as God is holy need to hear Paul here similarly in Isaiah 51, verses 1 and 7. Hearken to me, the Lord says. And by the way, remember, Jesus says in John 12 that holy, holy, holy God in Isaiah 6, that's him. So hear him saying, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. When they call you things like Puritan. Further, remember 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. This is important to write down, especially for you young ones trying to figure out your life. What is God's will for your life? Here it is. No problem. Got the answer. Written in the Word. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. We have our young ones trained too much to think about vocations. Not that they're not important, but often they compromise holiness for them and go against God's will. His will is your sanctification. You focus on that and how you'll glorify God in all that you do, whether you eat or drink, or wherever you work, or wherever you study, where especially you would serve in church. His will is your sanctification. That is your godliness. That is your righteousness. Jesus came to fulfill all righteousness as the anointed Messiah, Matthew 3:15. To live the perfectly righteous life, obeying all God's law perfectly to fulfill them for us, Matthew 5:17. Expecting us to want to live just like him because of him, Matthew 5:18. It looks something like this. following, pursuing righteousness looks something like this. This is kind of a description from what we've memorized and worked on with the scriptures from Ezekiel 36, verse 31, Shorter Catechism 87. By the way, remember we saw in Ezekiel it says, loathe yourselves in your own sight. Very countercultural with counseling today. But here's how it works. Loathe yourselves in your own sight. Remember your sins. Look at all these wicked things you're doing, things that are not good that you've done, and your abominations. But it's repentance unto life. Remember, that's the call of the gospel, to be saved in Jesus, to repent of your sins and want to be saved of them. Not only saved of the guilt that would send you to hell, but saved of the grip in your life that would cause you to still have a living hell and make, frankly, life for a lot of others, often the church, a living hell. Shorter Catechism 87. Here's, at least I submit to you, part of what it looks like to follow righteousness, to pursue righteousness. Repentance unto life is a saving grace whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, doth with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it unto God. Before I continue, do you notice the opposites again? That's where you were going. Rebellion against God's ways. But repentance, pursuing holiness, is to turn from it that way to God. It may have to literally be, my eyes are going from here to here. But it starts with God is taking my heart from here to here. The Catechism continues, and this is what it should look like at the end, and mainly why I read it to you tonight. With full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. You want to check yourself? Are you following righteousness? Go back to that. Shorter Catechism 87. Pray over it before the Lord. And remember, repentance in Hebrew and Greek basically means a change of heart, a change of mind. And thus, the fruit of that will be a change of direction and a change of travel companions because of your mutual destination along the narrow way. You see, those who follow Jesus will be found following in his righteous ways with other righteous ones. I give you that as the main point of our verse tonight. Those who follow Jesus will be found following in his righteous ways with other righteous ones. You could say, as we give that disclaimer, those who are found in Jesus and thus who are following Jesus will be found following in his righteous ways with other righteous ones. Matthew 5 verse 6 in his Sermon on the Mount, where he didn't let us off of the law, he called out the Pharisees often for using the traditions of men to find loopholes in the law and lessen our responsibility before the Lord with his law, to bring down his law. Jesus says it's even bigger than that. It's even deeper than that. You lust over a woman, you're committing adultery with her. You hate someone, you're committing murder. Keep that in view. Matthew 5, verse 6, within that Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are they, Jesus says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's expressing the reality of what you are. I appreciate right now on the White Horse Inn Radio, they're discussing the Beatitudes, and they're saying it's not the Beatitude. It's not the work that we do. It's describing the benefit, the blessedness of this being true about us by God's grace. It's not that it doesn't follow with what it should look like. But notice, we're being told to pursue righteousness. And I trust you understand, if you're really going to be like that, it's going to be like every period of church history in Scripture, the Reformation, the work of the times of the Puritans, the majority of the church will be uncomfortable with you. Often they will try to get you to stop. If they can't, they'll try to get rid of you. If they can't, they'll leave you. And they'll have plenty bad to say about you as they leave you in their wake. You need to recognize that. The call on you to pursue righteousness is not popular. It's never been popular in the church. Unless the Lord does a work of the Holy Spirit. Pray for that. Pray for that first for us. I appreciate what they said on one of those, that message today. They were discussing one of the Beatitudes, and I think they were quoting G.K. Chesterton and said, and this is really what you need to understand, that we would repent and ask the Lord to help us. Everybody was discussing what's wrong with the world, what's wrong with the world, and long discussions and descriptions and diatribes about what's wrong with the world. And I guess they had, I think, written to G.K. Chesterton, if I think I have the right name, asking him what's wrong with the world. He says, thank you very much for asking what's wrong with the world. That's an easy answer. Me. That's what all of our answers should be. What's wrong with the world? Me. God help me to pursue righteousness. Don't worry about everyone else. Let's look at the log in our own eye, eh? If we want to see anyone else be concerned with that. Matthew 5, verse 8 in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's the promise. But see, you're called to pursue righteousness, faith, charity, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, we know that's a work of the Lord on our heart, or it wouldn't be happening. And yet in Psalm 51, when we are confronted with our sin, we repent and we cry out, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. The pure in heart shall see God. If you are told to follow righteousness, here's another opposite way of trying to understand what that might look like. You're told to follow righteousness. Well, what wouldn't it be then? If we want to know what that is, what wouldn't it be? Well, it's quite easy, really. You could probably guess. Unrighteousness. 1 John 5:17. All unrighteousness is sin. So what is sin? Unrighteousness. Okay, let's see what else John has to say and put it together. 1 John 3, verse 4. If unrighteousness is sin, and we don't want to do that because we're to pursue righteousness, John goes on in 1 John 3, 4, or rather earlier, says, sin is the transgression of the law. God's law. Sin is rebellion against the king. Sin is breaking God's law and is ultimately hatred. Because to keep God's law, the scriptures tell us, is love. So to hate God and not love Jesus, that would be unrighteousness. To understand righteousness, here's another study of opposites. Have other gods in the presence of God. Make and worship idols. Blaspheme God's holy name. Dishonor the Sabbath day with an unholy lack of rest and worship. Dishonor your father and mother and instead be cursed with a short life. Murder people. Have sex with people who are not your husband. If you're a woman, or if you're a man who's not your wife, take things from others that are not yours, and they didn't give to you, and you didn't buy. Tell lies about people and ruin their reputations, especially in a court of law. And discontentedly desire what others have. Now that's simply to drive home the point. I want to make sure you all heard me right and don't quote me out of context. Don't actually do that. Okay? You get the idea of thinking about the contrast. We get used to hearing the commandments, though many of them are negative. Think about them opposite. You don't want that to be your life. That's not pursuing righteousness. That's not following Christ. Let that motivate you to love and live his commandments, to walk in the law of liberty. Live the Ten Commandments. Pursue righteousness or holiness or godliness. Express that Christ is your righteousness by following after him and living his righteous ways of love for God and men by his Holy Spirit working in you. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. Respond to the Holy Spirit and ask the Father to give you more of his sanctifying presence and influence. You could pray, Lord, help me to follow righteousness. The Lord, my righteousness, Jesus, and his righteous ways, his righteous footsteps, his righteous path. Well, here's another study of opposites. Proverbs 10:25. As the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. Let that motivate you. It's really the end of what we're talking about, right? In the end of your life, if you're wicked, it's going to be... You ever try to catch something that gets in a breeze? Have fun with that. It's gone, right? What does Psalm 1 say? Well, the righteous, God knows them. They'll be in his court. They're like trees by water, producing leaves. Of course, you can think of good fruit. But the wicked, walking with the wicked, they end up as a theme song, I believe, from the 70s. All they are is dust in the wind. Again, Proverbs 10:25, as the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. Follow righteousness. Proverbs 11:28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. But the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Proverbs 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Frankly, one of the reasons the churches, dare I say, many Reformed churches today, lack boldness in the pulpit, lack boldness in the government of the church, is a lack of righteousness behind it. It's interesting to think of that, and Paul says in the verse yesterday, chapter 2 Timothy 1:12, what's he say at the end? God delivered me from the mouth of the lion. By the way, did you notice, brother, if you haven't, go to the slideshow. I only noticed later closely. I didn't actually have time to read it too closely, but it's interesting. He quotes some verses, and he explains in the letter he wrote to his granddaughter, I believe, when it says the lion, he says that means Satan. It was right there. I get goosebumps. This is the verse he chose for us. Yesterday, that is. Proverbs 29, verse 6. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare, a trap. It's going to come back on them, as the scripture says elsewhere. They're going to fall in their own pit they've dug for someone else. Like Haman's hung on his own gallows he builds for Mordecai. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. So you can think of Paul and Silas in prison singing surely psalms at midnight, and the Lord miraculously opens the gates and frees them and converts the jailer. Proverbs 29:16, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth. But the righteous shall see their fall. Perhaps you could say like Lot, although not looking back immediately like his wife. And I think I do want to highlight, I've just said that in the month of June in our nation. And lastly, and don't miss this, Matthew 25, verse 46, Jesus says, "And these, the sheep separated from the goats, the one who loved him, wanted to serve him his way, these shall go away," or excuse me, let me qualify, "the goats that don't want to serve him, that love unrighteousness and don't want to live his way or by him, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous into life eternal." I stumbled through that verse. I'd like to read it again, please. Matthew 25, 46. "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." The same end that Paul anticipates with chapter 4, verse 8. I'd like to go there again with you this evening. Go to chapter 4, verse 8 with me, please. And we saw how in the morning Paul is rejoicing in the promise of life in Jesus Christ from God. And so he is so looking forward to and anticipating that with certainty and confidence as he's about ready to go through death into eternal life with Christ. Verses 6 through 8. Let me go ahead and read 6 through 8 again, but I want to highlight another aspect that shouldn't be missed as the part of what it is, the warp and woof of what this all looks like and just naturally is organically. Verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day," judgment day, "and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing," the appearing of the Lord, our righteousness. And what is stored up for us? Not our righteousness, but because he's made us righteous. The whole where we're going to be, what we're going to enjoy is righteousness. The Lord our righteousness, Jesus Christ. How can we not be stirred, therefore, by his Spirit, if we are his, to not want to move and follow righteousness? I trust we are. Because that's the end purpose, that's the goal. And so should it be our growth in grace and progress and sanctification along the way. May you pursue the kind of life in this world that reflects that the light of the world is in you. May you pursue the kind of life that would inspire someone doing your funeral eulogy, like yesterday was the case, giving your eulogy message, to select from an optional selection in the OPC Black Book order for the burial of the dead, the selections concerning a notably useful and fruitful Christian life. There's these different categories of scriptures offered to the minister to consider, and usually pick a little from each because you can't really go through them all. And even then, you might not pick certain categories, such as one is for if we've lost someone young in life, another is if we've lost someone older in life. And so we quoted from that section. It may not always be the case, but in this case we did yesterday, may it be that people simply are compelled and inspired by your righteous life in Christ, your righteousness, to select from the scripture section about those who were a notably useful and fruitful Christian life, such as Matthew 25, 34 to 40. But I won't read that. I read it yesterday. I encourage you to go and read it. But I will read these two scriptures. Proverbs 4, 18. "But the path of the just," or you could say righteous, and by the way, Christ is called elsewhere the just one, "those in him who he's justified by grace and faith, he makes righteous in his righteousness, and their path will look like it following him." Proverbs 4:18, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Similarly, doesn't Paul say in Philippians, "You're like stars shining against the backdrop of a black universe, witnessing for Jesus by the way you live." out the righteousness he's put in you. Daniel 12, verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. See, if the Lord has worked his righteousness in you, the Lord of righteousness, Jesus Christ, you'll be growing, pursuing his righteousness, following him. And that will lead even further that you'll be turning other people to follow righteousness. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And you can think about where we were in Luke 3 tonight. John the Baptist, though he suffered for it to the losing of his head, was preaching repentance, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He was in fact turning people to be concerned to turn straight toward the Lord Jesus Christ, our righteousness. And what's related to that is repentance. Beloved, leave that kind of life's legacy to your children and their living. Following after you, following after Paul and Timothy, I pray this church and its leaders and people through the years, lead them in following Jesus, our righteousness. Follow righteousness. Again, that's the message for you this evening from 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lusts. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Beloved, may God do a work in us that we would follow righteousness and turn others who he would draw here to do the same. Follow righteousness. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you are the Lord, our righteousness. And we pray you would thus help us grow, especially Holy Spirit, to follow righteousness. And indeed, to turn many to righteousness. And be as the stars forever and ever, with the brightness of the firmament, as the light of the world shines through us and makes us the light of the world, the more we pursue you and your holiness. May it be that others thinking of us later will think naturally to say, they followed righteousness. They followed Christ, the Lord, our righteousness, in whose name we pray. And all. Thanks again for listening to the media ministry of the Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church in San Diego, California. If you are blessed by our sermons and would like to help keep our little church going as a ministry partner with your cheerful gifts, please click on the Give button at the top of any of our sermon audio pages to support us with your online donation. Or visit our website at puritanchurch.com and click through the Give button at the top right of your screen. And if you prefer to send your support through the mail, please make your check out to Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church and send it to Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church, 6374 Potomac Street, San Diego, California, 92139. Thank you.